Welcome to the Craig and Greg Show, presented by Maximize Leadership. Now, here are Craig Owens and Greg Harris.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Craig and Greg Show. I'm Craig, alongside Greg, as usual, and we love being here to be able to share with you some thoughts that can help you excel in your leadership. I want to address a topic today that is a relatively recent term, although I think that the concept has been around for a while, but presently it's referred to as quiet quitting. In our, maybe in the past, we've heard things people say, it's not in my job description. Mm-hmm. I've done enough already. There's been some other things, but this is kind of new to have quiet quitting, but it is something that I think leaders of organizations of any size are going to have to confront.
It's almost one of those oxymorons, like quiet quitting, where you think about, like, you know, jumbo shrimp. They don't go together. Quiet quitting shouldn't go either. You either quit or you give your all. And I think that's what we're going to unwrap today, is why are people not giving their all? And what do leaders do about it?
Yes, absolutely. And I think that what leaders do about it is the main focus here, because I wouldn't put it on the person who is quiet quitting.
Right.
At some point, you may have somebody that just kind of digs their heels in and they're like, nope, this is the way that I'm going to be. Mm-hmm. And maybe we make them a loud quitter instead of a quiet quitter. Exactly. which is fine. If somebody says, I don't fit in this organization, I don't align to what you believe or what my job description is, I think those are legitimate reasons to exit that organization. But it at least has to start with the leader first.
Right.
That's giving people the advantage.
Maybe for our audience, do we want to define what quiet quitting is first, if they're not familiar with it?
Sure.
It is a new term. Sure. I don't know if it's a new habit.
Yeah. So quiet quitting, as I would understand it, would be people that would almost have, like, you know, whether it's on paper or whether it's on the computer, have their job description right there. And they're saying, no, you're asking me to do something above and beyond. I'm not going to expend any extra energy. I'm just doing this, and that's all I'm going to do. And so it's not saying I quit, I just haven't told anybody yet. It's I'm still going to collect a paycheck, but don't ask me to do anything. You know, if I'm supposed to work until 5 p.m., I'm out of here at 5:00. Don't ask me to stay a second over that. If my job description is to take care of this area in the department, if there's a memo that comes in from somebody else that that's somebody else's department, I'm not doing it because somebody else dropped it. I'm not stepping over that line. Mm-hmm. And so it's really just kind of, just what's the bare minimum that I can do to get by.
That's not us, so it's a little hard to wrap my arms around. Yeah. Like, why would someone not give their all? Why wouldn't they strive to be excellent? I think it might be a generational thing. It might be a organizational culture thing. Certainly could be a leadership thing. Mm-hmm. And you're right, Craig. Not everybody comes to work or comes to their organization willing to give 100%. Right. I had one coach, you know, like, I want 110%. I said, well, I would explode if I gave 110%. Right. But I think we need to get maybe to why are they quitting? And then maybe our challenge could be at the end of this episode is, what do we do as leaders to re-engage them to maybe prevent more people from quitting?
Sure.
What would you say? What's one reason you think we're quitting?
By the way, look
at my shirt.
Yes, never
and,
quit.
And this team.
They didn't.
They did something to Alabama that I'm very excited about. This team won and Alabama didn't. And that's a football story. And we're going to stop right there.
Right. Okay. You just like that orange color, don't you?
I love that orange color.
I jotted down a couple of thoughts on why people are quiet quitting. And like I said, I would put this on leadership. Mm-hmm. I would think that these are all leadership issues. It's places where, so like you and I have talked about before, leaders that lock themselves away in their office and don't interact. And so that poor leadership style, I think, opens the door. It almost invites people to quiet quit because, well, you're not investing in me, so why am I going to invest in your company? So let me just share a couple ideas with you. Right. The first one that I think
should
is
take,
that...
Should I take notes?
Well, I want you to weigh in on these things. I think that one of the big ones is that leaders have let people just settle instead of giving them something to excel to.
Yeah. You know, developing other leaders, you could use a lot of great words, motivating, there could be accountability, but that settling, like, this is enough, I'm not going to do any more. I think that's a question we would like to ask if we had someone right here, like, so you quiet quit, yeah, why? I think that's the part where the leaders, if they're in their office and not engaged, they'll never know.
Right. And if a leader themselves get to a spot where, hey, I've got the office, I've got the title, I've got the salary, I'm comfortable with where I am right now. I don't need to risk anything else. I don't need to grow anything else. I can just stay right here. In essence, they have quiet quit as well. Mm-hmm. And so they're really sending a signal to everybody else. If the leader's not growing, why am I going to? Why am I going to challenge myself? Because real quickly, I'm going to bump up against that ceiling and I can't go anywhere. So I might as well just stop right now.
And sometimes in an organization, someone who is a minimalist effort, they can kind of corrupt the others.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think if you're not engaged as a leader, you would have no idea if Mary is corrupting Susie or Billy is corrupting Jeffy. We have a problem. And I think unengaged leaders result in unengaged or disengaged workers.
Leaders have to step in there. The other one that I would write down here is that I don't think that leaders a lot of times have shared the vision with people. And so it does feel a little bit like walk in, pull out my time card, punch it in, sit down, go, just kind of crank things out in an assembly line style, watching the clock, going, okay, it's quitting time, punch out, walk out the door, and never really understanding what's going on. Why is the organization here? What do we even do? You know, we make this widget or we provide this service, but a leader has to say, but here's the vision. Here's the reason, the bigger thing that we're doing. Yeah. Where do we fit into this community outside of just plugging away? Because otherwise people are like, all right, I'm busting my tail and looking at the boss going, and you're just getting wealthy off of that, and I'm not seeing any benefits from that. So again, why would I work hard for that?
What just kind of popped in my brain as you were chatting about these points, it'd be interesting to test or survey employees. If you're a minimalist or a settler, I'm guessing your day goes really slow.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yep.
And if you're an investor and you're a giver and you're industrious and you're willing to try a new task, I'm going to guess that the day goes very fast.
Absolutely.
And so for us leaders, you know, you as watching as well, how do we create that, you know, let's try stuff. Let's give, it feels better. Yep. I bet you if you could also survey the people, their esteem, if they're settlers, or quiet quitters, their esteem would be lower because of not contributing.
Right.
But they don't have someone telling them, like a leader, let's do this, let's get over the top.
Right. Well, why would I try for something if I don't know what's going to happen on the other side of that? Am I going to get smacked down for doing that? So, hey, listen, if I don't try, I can't fail. I can't get in trouble. Because I have my job description right here. I'm doing my job description. I can never get in trouble because I'm doing my job description. But leaders that say, look, here's our vision. It's bigger than this. And I think, you know, we've talked before about, in another episode, about the fear of making mistakes. Mm-hmm. If I'm just sitting here going, this is my job description, I will do this, you know, and very robotic about it, there's probably not going to be any mistakes. And so there's no consequences. But when the leader is saying, hey, you know what? Here's what we're going to try to stretch. We're going to try to do something different we haven't done before. And we might mess up a little bit. That's okay. That's okay, because we'll learn from that. When you're helping other people with that, then they don't feel like I have to be locked into this thing because I don't want to get in trouble for making a mistake.
Yeah. Or else. Oh, yeah. The penalty is coming down hard.
Yep.
What do you think the quiet quitting? Is there something that us as leaders should know about that culture person? Because they are a culture person. They're going to either ostracize themselves, or they're going to recruit others to be settlers? Right. What should we know as leaders?
I know it almost feels a little bit like beating a dead horse because we've said it so much, but if you're not getting out, moving around among your people, how are you going to know any of this stuff? How are you going to be able to say, you know, this person, when I interviewed them for this job, I see them doing something different now than I didn't imagine when I was doing the interview. If you're not around them, how will you ever know that they're doing something different, that they've lost interest, that they don't have the same fire as they had before? Because I guarantee you, you didn't hire the person that came into the job interview and went, what's the bare minimum I can do to get by and get a paycheck? That's not the person you hired.
No.
You hired the person that came in and said, man, I'm really excited about doing this job, and I'll do this, and look at my resume, and I'm really excited about. And if you're walking around that person and you don't see that anymore, then it's, you better be addressing that. But if you're just sitting there locked away in your office, how are you ever going to know that?
Productivity is something that we were trying to do in corporate America for, you know, the past 20 years, whatever, how to gauge that, measure that, et cetera. I worked with someone, I won't say their name, but they were a settler. You know, they weren't Lewis and Clark. They were just a settler. They could make a 4-hour day an 8-hour day.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And I always question productivity. And maybe that's something that we share with leaders. Maybe they write us and say, this is a productivity test we've used, and we can share that with the rest of our audience. But I've always questioned productivity. Who's answering the test honestly? I'm sorry, because
exactly.
You know, I mean, no. Unless, like, you know, yeah, I don't give two poops about this. I'm going to give 4 hours of work, and I'm going to stretch it out for eight.
Right.
I remember catching this same worker talking to another worker who was also a settler in the making. They're great at recruiting, and you said like 5:00 or whatever.
Yeah.
So by about 4:45,
start packing up.
The desk was cleared, folders were put back, pencils were away, staplers tied to the back of the, you know, the wall. Maybe they used the bathroom one last time, got their coat out, and then they waited for 5:00. I'm like, so you just coasted. Now, granted, there might be, he or she had a big day. There wasn't another project that they could fit into 15 minutes. I get it. Right. How do we as leaders find that button for like productivity, or like someone who gives their all? I use the word if they're driven.
Yeah.
How can we create a driven culture?
Yeah. And you know, again, I think it's that you don't have to tell people to be engaged in their work when they see the difference that it's making. When you have shared that vision and they've bought into that vision, I don't think you have to say, you know, get out the whip and go, work harder for right. doing this stuff. I think they go, man, I can't wait to get in there. When the people have the have to attitude, well, I have to go to work, I have to follow this job description, you're never going to get high quality, high productivity out of them. But when they're like, man, I get to do this because this is what our organization is doing, it's investing in people's lives, it's making a difference, it's doing this and this. When people feel like that, you know, they're working away, and then you have to come and tap them on the shoulder and go, hey, it's 5:20, pack up your stuff and go home. It is? Oh, yeah. You're not going to have to crack the whip on them to try to get them to be productive.
Culturally, I think as leaders, it's something we must defend. Mm-hmm. And I think we've taken our eye off the ball.
Absolutely.
And I'm not talking about a leader who's not leading well. I'm talking about a leader who's trying to lead well. But I think that culture needs to really be defended. And then when you do reviews with staff, you should use some of these vernaculars, the wording that, you know, I know you can stretch a job into a full day, but that's not going to help us. Because I think you have capacity, but I'm not going to look over your shoulder. So are you looking to have, could you make more margin so we could get more done? And but create that culture. How would you do that as a leader? What would you?
Well, there's a book I read a number of years ago, Coaching for Improved Work Performance. And there's five things in here that I think that leaders, I'm going to adapt it from the book. Yeah. The first one is mission. I think this is letting people know right up front, and then continuing to reinforce this and up along the way, what is it that we're doing? Why are we here? What's going on? The second thing is vision, and that's why are we doing what we're doing? If you tell somebody up front, hey, the only thing that we want to do is make money, that's all we want to do, then that worker is going to sit there and go, well, my paycheck's not going up, but yours is as the boss, so why would I put in any more effort? So you have to, you know, let them know what the big picture is. The third one is training. We got to tell people how to do their job. I can't tell you how many people that at the beginning when somebody comes in, they do a quick walkthrough tour. Here's your desk. There's that stuff. The copy machine's over there. The restroom's over there. You know, break is at 10:15 and 2 o'clock. Lunch is from 12 to 12:30. And then that's it.
That's their, what do they call that? Where they, you load them up.
Oh, onboarding.
Onboarding. Yeah. It's like, well, that is an onboarding.
That's
your,
it, right?
Here's your phone. Here's your, right. Dial one to get out, you know.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. The fourth one is attitude.
Can I do a quick thing on training? Cause you've been really good at training and observing someone needs a little more attention, but it's not favoritism.
No.
Chick-fil-A, you know, one of my favorite business models, and it certainly is America's favorite model, at least one of the tops. Their first session of training, do you know what it's about? Mm-hmm. You do, because I told you. That is not fair. Don't listen to his answer.
I won't
say
anything. Right.
He's not going to win a free book.
You just give the answer.
It's manners. It has nothing to do with chicken. Yep. It has nothing to do with the health department. It has nothing to do with fire safety. It's manners. And they really hit it home.
Yep.
And if someone can't get through the manners part, which is a little bit of respect of the other person,
absolutely,
primarily the customer,
yep,
if they can't get there, they don't go on to the rest. Yep. Interesting, with the lockdown and COVID and pandemic, plandemic, scamdemic, whatever people want to say it is, the numbers have dwindled on budget and hours spent in training. As leaders, we've got to wake up.
Yep.
It's we're going to get a marginal worker.
You'll get what you train.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I've heard it went from, training people, different divisions and different categories, was about 20% of the most organizations said we spend time training, not just onboarding. Now it's below 10.
Yeah.
And I think we're losing that. We're investing you. That's what training is.
Right. And I think not only the onboarding, but I think there has to be continuing, you know, there has to be this ongoing training. You don't just assume, all right, you got this all figured out. That's it. One and done. Because then what you're saying to the person is, I don't believe you can expand or grow anymore. So you're contributing to the quiet quitting.
Kind of self-fulfilling.
Right. I don't expect them to expand. And they're like, fine, so then I won't. I won't stretch anywhere else.
Yeah, training's a good one, buddy.
And what I found too with the people that could be emerging leaders, if you don't train them and challenge them, they will either loaf on the job, they'll quiet quit, or they'll leave you. And they're going to go, they'll find another organization that recognizes and trains, and they're going to be a great asset there. So, yeah. So mission, vision, training. I think the fourth one that's very important is attitude. Mm-hmm. Starts leader, it starts with you. You have to be a self-motivator. You've got to be never saying, all right, well, you know, what's the bare minimum I got to get done so I get out of here? Yeah. Yeah. That's good enough. I hate that one. So that has to be yours. But then secondly, as far as attitude goes, I think again, I'm going to beat this horse again. You got to be out walking
we really
around.
Don't beat horses. We promise.
You got to be out walking around your people because everybody is motivated differently. So you can't just look at somebody and say, man, they got a bad attitude about work. Yeah, but are you motivating them the right way? What do they need to do that? And then the fifth thing I think is definitely a leadership issue is obstacles. Mm-hmm. If people don't see the clear path, like how do I get advanced in this organization? I have a problem getting my job done because I'm waiting for this department over here to do this thing. And so then I feel frustrated. All of those things are going to contribute to the quiet quitting tendency. So leaders, you're the only one that can remove the obstacles. So you've got to do that. And you got to let people know that you're removing the obstacles. And sometimes you have to go to people and say, listen, I can't be everywhere all the time. So if you see an obstacle, you need to let me know so that I can do something about it and get it out of your way
But so if they're in their office,
right,
the leader's not going to see obstacles.
And so I would actually, I would put it this way. I don't think that I've heard anybody say it this way, but if you are a leader, and I want to put that in quotes because you have the title, and you're just sitting in your office and that's all you do, you have in essence quiet quit. Mm-hmm. And so why would you be surprised that everybody else in your organization is starting to do that as well?
Babe Ruth had a quote, "It's hard to beat someone who never quits." Mm-hmm. I'd like to change that maybe for our audience. It's hard to beat an organization who doesn't quit.
Absolutely.
Quiet quitting being a new terminology, but it is measurable. Sometimes surveys, employee surveys, are helpful, but if they're anonymous, they're a little more truthful. And I think you need those folks on the floor, like you spoke of. Hey, if you see someone that's not doing well or struggling, I don't know the obstacles. I don't know if the attitude turned bad. Maybe there's situations in their personal life and they come into work and they're just begrudgingly saying, "I have to pay bills." But you can't be everywhere as a leader if your organization is sizable.
Right.
But you need those kind of those culture agents out there. Maybe speak to that on as a leader, and then we can wrap up.
Sure, absolutely. I think that's part of what the leaders are doing is they're not trying to say, if you're a leader trying to say, "I just want to get to the finish line and I want to win this race," wrong focus. When you're saying, "I want to get as many people as advanced and trained and educated and have life experiences as possible," that's a leader. And when you're doing that and you're investing in people and you believe in people and you're saying, "I'm going to stretch you a little bit. I want to give you something." So instead of saying just, "Here's my job description," I want to give you something a little bit beyond that. I want to get you to stretch and I'm going to reward you for that stretching. And you're going to feel really good. I promise you, people are going to feel really good when they say, "I stretched outside of my comfort zone. I stretched outside of my job description. I got to do something that I haven't done before. What can I do next? Because I just accomplished that. And it felt good to do that." Those are going to become, I think, the eyes and ears in the organization.
Excellent. That's a great reminder. I know this is ADHD or Mountain Dew or something acting up here, but one of the thoughts I had about where does celebrating the behaviors we want as leaders, and then we probably wrap up here.
But yeah, absolutely.
As a leader, like.
Well, and I think, I remember one time having a conversation with my wife about an employee that was difficult and the attitude just, was just not meshing with everybody else. And so she finally said, "I think you're spending more time with that one person than you are with everybody else in your team that is on board and is doing," and she used that word. She said, "You're missing out on opportunities to celebrate some of those good things." And what happened when I stopped spending as much time trying to address the bad behavior and started celebrating the good decisions from everybody else, that problem person slowly started to change because they were like, "I'm not getting the attention anymore." Oh, the only thing that's getting attention is things that are being celebrated. And it started changing. So listen, I want to go back to what I said at the beginning. If you've got quiet quitters on your team, leaders, I hate to say it to you, but it's true. You're going to have to look in the mirror because it starts with your leadership first. You have to be the one that honestly self-assesses and say, if my people are quiet quitting, what am I doing that's holding them back? Have I not shared the vision, the mission? Have I not given them adequate training? Am I not rewarding and celebrating the right thing? How's my attitude about stretching and moving forward? Those things have to be taking place in your life first, and then they can translate to everybody else on your team. So start with yourself, look in the mirror and make that honest self-assessment. Or maybe you want to talk to a coach. We'd be happy to do that. If you go to maximizeleadership.com, we've got a page on there that talks about our coaching services. And you say, "Well, I'm not really sure if I need a coach," just fill out the form. There's no obligation. Give us your contact info. One of us will get in touch with you. We'll ask you some questions and we're going to be totally honest with you. We'll say, "Hey, we think we can help you by doing this." Or we'll say, "I don't think that that's something we can do. Maybe we make a recommendation." with somebody else. But we'd love to come alongside you if we can. If you've got ideas that you'd like us to talk about on the show, or maybe ideas like Greg had suggested earlier, share with us some of your productivity things. You can, of course, comment below on this video or on Twitter. Reach out to us at Maximize Podcast. And we'd love to get feedback from you. We'd love to get suggestions on future episodes, topics you'd like us to talk about. That's what we're here to do, to serve you and help you in your leadership growth. So make sure you stay tuned. If you haven't already, please subscribe on YouTube. Click the bell. That way you're notified every time that we drop a full episode, or we have some shorts that we're able to share with you as well. We want you to catch up on all that great content. We'll see you soon.
Get in touch with Craig and Greg through Twitter at Maximize Podcast or at MaximizeLeadership.com. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss any episodes of The Craig and Greg Show.